here's one of the things that's going on this morning right now. I got a good cup of coffee right here. And I want to start this way today. Maybe you like good cup of coffee in the morning. Maybe it's hot chocolate or orange juice, water, fruit smoothie. Somebody out there, right? Somebody probably likes like what the whole kale smoothie thing or something. Maybe that's you I'm talking to. But anyways, I love good hot coffee in the morning first thing. You can get that. It smells so good. And you know, maybe you know what I'm talking about here. That first, you hold it in your hands. And you're ready for that first sip. You smelled it so good, and you're getting ready to taste it, and you're just sort of leaning into that cup, anticipating it's going to taste so, so good. Does that ring a bell? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Maybe, here's a good one, because some of you will get this one. Do you like cookies? Especially when they come right out of the oven, nice and hot. You can smell them. This might not be doing very good. I may lose you this morning. You may end up go get cookies in the pantry. But anyways, those nice freshly baked cookies, you take them out of the oven, you sit them on the counter, and you kind of just are leaning in, anticipating how good that first one's going to taste. Are you the kind that doesn't even let them set up? You just got to pull that nice gooey hot cookie there off the baking sheet, and you got to eat it like right then. Is that you? Yeah, sometimes I confess that's me too. But you know that anticipation? You're just sort of leaning in and hoping for what's going to be so, so good. Almost like, you know, chomping at the bit, can't wait to get there, and family's gathering around maybe those hot cookies that are on the tray there at the oven or the counter. Fair enough, right? I love how I think that parallels to where we're at today. It may seem like a weird jump, but listen. When I think of what we're going through today, and I listen to folks as they're talking about kind of where they're at in life and how they're seeing life just sort of changing still all around them, there's a fair amount of anticipation with hope and just chomping at the bit to get beyond all the restrictions that are slowly, I think, in different states being sort of peeled back incrementally in stages, which I think is wise, and we're not here to debate that in any way this morning. But I think that there's a lot of folks that are just ready to do life without having to maybe worry about the restrictions or to worry about whether or not, especially if they are immune compromised or a little older, when they go out in public, that they're going to catch the coronavirus. You know, I mean, that's a real fear for a lot of folks, and that's and I totally respect that. It's legit. And so I think there's a lot of anticipating in that way right now. Now, if you're a kid, there's probably a lot of anticipation with hope that the end of next week can't get here fast enough, right? That online schooling is going to be done and you don't have to mess with it anymore. Some of you guys, you're ready to go out and play sports again on a team. You miss your teammates, your buddies, and you want to get out there and hang out with your friends that you maybe haven't seen for quite a while to actually do stuff, hang around, go places with. And so there's a lot of leaning in, waiting for that time to come. Well, what about this one? Maybe you own your own business. And so right now you realize that, you know, this season has taken a hit on your business. And so you're chomping at the bit, sort of leaning into that moment where you can really push the gas pedal and try to rebuild what you've lost during this pandemic and with all the restrictions that we've had in place. There's a lot of waiting with anticipation. And you may be waiting with anticipation in some other ways that I haven't even mentioned today. And I can only imagine. As I thought about that, it made me think back to the time when in the book of Acts was written. Now, not the time that it was telling the stories of, but later as it was being written. So, you know, in that time when it was being written, you know, Christians were suffering a lot from persecution. And so, you know, there's a lot of suffering waiting for it all to come to an end. And at the same time, you know, they're waiting for Jesus to come back to earth because he promised he would, and they're going through a lot of suffering and hardship, and they're wanting it all to come to an end, and totally makes sense. And so there they are. They're waiting. And I think one of the most famous is the Apostle Paul. that we read about. You know, he endured a lot of suffering for his faith in Christ. You can read in the letters that he wrote and learn about just the struggles that he went through. And at one time, he was under house arrest in Rome, which was about AD 60, so about 30 years, you know, after Jesus had died, rose again, and ascended into heaven. And so during that time, you know, he's chomping at the bit. He's waiting. He wants to go visit churches he had planted. He wants to go meet new people and share the gospel with them as well. And one of those places that he wanted to go back and see was Philippi. It was a place that he had been before and that he knew well. I want to talk about Philippi shortly, but I want to just kind of carry on with Paul for a moment. Because you see, Paul's chomping at the bit. My goodness, he's anticipating. He's waiting for that moment that he can go see him. But the thing is, he has no idea how it's all going to play out. He's sitting there, but it's really out of his control. And I thought, you know, I think we know something about wanting to get out of our houses, right? I get it. Not exactly the same, because we're not being persecuted for our faith as Paul was and others were at the time. But I think we really do know something about that angst, that want to be free to come and to go, to do what we want, you know, when we want, the way that we want to do it. And we're so close, but yet we're not quite there. And we're leaning in, but not quite there. And I think that anticipation, I don't think that's a bad thing at all. But I do want to caution us to be careful with maybe that temptation to sort of lean into all the things that we don't have control over and the fear of what we don't know, living with that anxiety, because anxiety can really be born and just rise up and fester when we focus a lot on the things that we can't control and we don't understand and we don't know, versus focusing on anticipating with hope what we do know. And I think just share today, I believe that's a real assessment of where a lot of us are tempted to go today. Because a lot of us are tired and we're just sort of worn down in one sense for what we've gone through. And we've got so much that we're looking forward to and it's almost there, but it's not quite there yet. And so I wanted to invite us to consider the Apostle Paul and the church in Philippi to be a guidance for us today. So I was with Paul. Let me take you to Philippi for a second. So, you know, Philippi is, they were much like the other area of the ancient East at the time. They had come under the Roman Empire, so they were being ruled by the Romans. And about the time that Paul's writing this letter to the Philippians, or the church in Philippi, they're suffering from being persecuted by an emperor named Nero. And if you've never heard the name before, then maybe an easy way to make a connection is if you've heard of Hitler and from history and how much he persecuted innocent people and was one of the kind of the worst leaders in the history of the world. Well, you can sort of put Nero, it's a little different, but you can sort of make that parallel and see how bad of a leader he was and how destructive and deadly he was, specifically, at least in one way, against people that were confessing their belief in Jesus Christ as the King of God's kingdom and wanted to worship him instead of worshiping the emperor, which was the religious custom of the day. So you can imagine, in that time, the Christians in Philippi were scared. I mean, yeah, I get it. It makes sense, right? And they're afraid. They are they're being persecuted. They are wrestling with staying united together. You know, they're wrestling with staying at peace with one another. You probably know it to be true. I do in my own experiences that when stress rises, conflict tends to rise with it. You ever experienced that? Probably, yeah. When stress rises, conflict tends to rise with it. So you can imagine how much conflict is happening in the Christian church in Philippi at the time, in addition to the rest of the Christians that are in the Roman Empire. And so, you know, they're uncertain about expressing their faith. They are wondering, do we really hold on to this? You know, I could imagine them asking some questions like, is it worth it to stay faithful to Christ and not embrace this religion that the Romans want us to do? Because, you know, it'd be a lot less stressful if we just did it their way and didn't do what we were taught Christ wants us to do. Is being faithful going to really pay off when it's all said and done? Is it worth it? Can God really carry us through to the end with all this craziness we're going through? And so they're wrestling with this. And so you imagine Paul is sitting under house arrest in Rome, and he hears about what's happening. He hears how they're suffering. He hears about their anxieties and the wrestling with, do we just stick with the faith or not? And so he writes this letter, which is we call the book of Philippians, to those Christians in that season. And he writes it teaching them from his own experiences. He shares with them what he had learned that it was helping him to carry through that season of, you know, being tempted with so much anxiety and doubt or despair or discouragement or to be depressed. You know, and that's what I want to share with us today. And so to do that, I want to take us into the book of Philippians chapter 3. So if you want to use your Bible this morning, feel free. I'm going to read it for us as well. But Philippians chapter 3, and let's go to verse 12. We're going to read a few different places today. So maybe keep your Bible there handy so you've got that. You can maybe flip around or go to different selections. So let's start at Philippians 3, again, verse 12. Here's what Paul wrote. You may have heard this before. He says, "Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ has took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Here's how I look at that in a real just simple, simple way. Instead of wasting energy stressing over what he couldn't change about his past or things that had already taken place or what he didn't, you know in that moment, what was left to be determined and to discover. He just said, you know what, forgetting what is behind, straining ahead, pressing in towards what is ahead, I'm going to lean into what I can know. And I'm going to focus on what I know has yet to come to pass, and is yet to be done. And I love that. And that's what drives what I believe he then writes a few verses down. It's still in chapter 3, in verse 20. And so let's go down to verse 20 and 21. Here it is. He says, "But our citizenship is in heaven." This is what he knows, right? "And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control," "will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." What a promise, right? So, you know, here it is. I mean, Paul's, it's like leaning into those cookies, right? Or that coffee. He's leaning in with this anticipation that God has promised that that final salvation will come one day because God has promised. And that's critically important for us. You know, and here's what that means for us. I'll teach for just a second here. Sin has already been judged through Christ's crucifixion and his death. If you remember the story on Good Friday, Jesus hung on the cross and as he was about to die, he said, "It is finished." Not only that his life and ministry was coming to an end, but also that he had fulfilled his Father's will. He accomplished what he came to earth to do, which was to atone for or to make it possible that through his death for sin, that all who would by faith believe in him would be able to have a right relationship with God, their Creator. He justified us through our faith by dying on the cross. Paul knew and believed and was very adamant that this was what had happened when Jesus died on the cross. And he knew what that meant, not just for today, but for the future. But he also knew something else, and we see it. Paul knew that eternal life had been secured through Christ's resurrection. You see, you may think back to when Jesus in the Gospels, when he's there with Mary and Martha, when Lazarus has died, and he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead, and he says about himself, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though he dies." He's taking them in a very chaotic moment, full of anxiety and stress, and he points them to what they can know and they can lean into at that moment, and that's that he is eternal salvation. He is life after death for them through their faith. I think of another place where Jesus was talking to the disciples, and he said, "I'm going ahead of you to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come back to take you with me." Same thing. Jesus pointing, right, to what they can lean into in a moment that is stressing with anxiety and so much unknown, things of which they can't control and they don't understand. He's pointing them to what they can lean into and know for sure about what is to come and what's yet to be done. Well, let me give you a kind of a one-liner to come out of this. I think Paul's leaning into this truth of eternal salvation because he knew that, here it is, that the certainty of God's promises gives hope in uncertain times. Let me say that again. He knew that the certainty of God's promises gives hope in uncertain times. So regardless of what we can't control, regardless of what happens to us, we can know and we can lean into the promise that there is a day coming where Christ will glorify us with Him. And we can know that because of our faith in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have an unshakable, unbreakable promise secured for us by our faith. This is what Paul is directing the Philippians to really lean into and hold on to. He wants that to be the anchor that holds them in place in the storm that they're going through. And I think also this is what feeds his words in the beginning of his letter. And it's the last place I want to take in Philippians today. Chapter 1, verse 20. Short and to the point. But here's what he says. He says, "I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." Do you believe today that no matter what you're going through, that you are able to lean into? That's what he means when he says eagerly expect. That's that leaning into anticipation with hope. Are you able to lean in and have a hope to know that nothing that is all around us will interfere with the promise of God? That you can lean into that, that you're not going to be disappointed for persevering through it all. That if you will endure through to the end, you have a glorious prize awaiting you. But yet, that even today, God has peace and hope and joy and love to just continue to pour into our lives in any season, regardless of what we're going through. This is His promise. This last week, a friend of mine passed away after battling a bad disease called lupus for a number of years. And she had a lot of complications with it, a lot of time in the hospital and out of the hospital, and just a rough extended season of life. We're going to miss her. I was thinking back to her as I was going through this message for today, and I remembered how, you know, in the midst of all the complications that she was having, that she was able to keep anticipating that final day, you know, when she would be glorified in Christ for her faith. And she could be feeling bad, and you could just be around her, and you could just know that she's not feeling well, and yet she'd still encourage you. And she would be sharing courage and hope and her joy with you that she had because of Christ. You ever know those types of folks who can just be in a rough, rough season and they're still encouraging us? She was that kind of person. We're going to miss her a lot. And I tell you that in that time of suffering, she knew that she would never be disappointed. She'd never be let down for waiting on God's promises to be fulfilled in her life. And she would have been the first one to tell you, you know, I've prayed for God to heal me, but I understand that God may not heal my physical body of what I'm going through. But I tell you what, He's going to make me whole in His glory one day. And that anticipation was such hope, was really at the core of her faith. And she never let go of that. And I think I'll take that with me always of how that inspires my faith. She let that be the anchor for her life. And one of the things I learned about her was that her hope was not in her having control of her situation. And it was not in God answering her prayers the way that she wanted them to be answered. But it was really from leaning into the promise of what was to come and what had yet to be done for her by Christ. And that gave her reason to smile, and she was able to trade in anxiety for peace. And I think that coins it well when I think of her. She traded in the "I don't know" for the "this I do know." That's what I think about when I think of Paul writing to the Philippians. In the midst of all their struggling and their sufferings, he had traded in the "I don't knows" for "this I do know." And because of what I do know, I know that God will not disappoint me, and that if I will strain ahead and persevere towards the end, that my faith will be rewarded. And to the reward is worth all of what I can go through on this side of glory. And so I'm going to say yes to Jesus. I know Your word and Your promises are true. I don't have to worry about it because it's already been settled by You through Christ's death and His resurrection. And so I know it's going to be okay in the end. And so I'm holding out hope. I'm leaning in with anticipation, right? Yeah, I know you get where I'm going. Well, I believe that experience is directly connected to having a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And so today, if you haven't made a decision in the past to try putting your faith in Christ and to recognize that, you know what? I need God in my life, especially Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to be a part of my life. Can I invite you, would today be a day for you that you would make that choice? You don't have to understand it all, because none of us have all the answers, but to say, today I choose to believe. And Lord, help me to know hope and peace and joy and your love as I go forward from this day. I promise you that will be the best decision that you ever make in your life. It's been one of the greatest that I've ever made. So for all of us today, I want to close with what Paul wrote in his closing words to the church in Philippi in chapter 4, verse 6. And here's what he wrote. He said, "Don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring up all of your requests to God in your prayers and petitions, along with giving thanks." And I'll add this, "for what has been done and yet to be done by Christ." He says, "Then the peace of God that exceeds all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus." May those words go with us all today as we continue on with whatever we're going through and whatever we've got planned today. And may you take those to heart. And may the peace of God guard you in your hearts and your minds as you choose to lean into that hope in the midst of all that is uncertain around us. And I promise if you do, not because of me, but because God's word says it is true, that when we do that, that the peace and the hope and the love and the joy of God will well up within our hearts and our minds and guard us from all the destruction of anxiety and stress and despair and discouragement, which doesn't do anything good for us. And you probably know that, you know, from past experiences. So don't let it have a foothold, but instead say, "God, help me lean in to what I can know about what you have already done, what you're going to do, and what is yet to come to pass in the future. Help me, Lord." And I promise he'll help you because he loves you. Through our anticipation with hope, may the Lord protect us all from anxiety. And as you go forward then to today, may the peace of the Lord be with you. May his grace be upon you. May the light of his love shine brightly in your hearts and your minds, so that as you go forth, you'll walk daily knowing that you are loved by an amazing God. Thank you so much. May the Lord bless you. We look forward to seeing you soon.